SDPB contributor Hugh Weber hosts the Potluck Society podcast and shares segments each week on In the Moment. He joins us now by phone from Sioux Falls. Hugh, great to have you with us today. How's your day going?
Are you able to hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
I can.
Perfect. Well, tell us who you're bringing on the program today. I'm kind of interested here because it sounds like this is a person that's having a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you what, Christina Barker, she's a resident now of Rapid City, but she grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area before moving here a number of years ago. She initially came here to be a newspaper staff photographer, but in 2014, she left the newsroom, and her career has absolutely skyrocketed. Her recent clients have included the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Atlantic, Cosmopolitan, countless others. It was a fantastic conversation with her. You know, we talked a lot about her work, and I'll share a lot of the background in photojournalism on the podcast. But one of the things I wanted to share today is how some of her childhood play actually set the stage for her moving to this specific region from California, and how she sees the region after 10 years now of living, working, and photographing this place.
Yeah.
I always try to explain to people, like, everyone's like, yeah, why would you want to move to South Dakota? Like, you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, what's out there? And I try to explain it like when I was little and I was playing, like when I was playing with my dolls in my bedroom, my childhood bedroom in California, my Barbie dolls and my dolls were not going to the mall to go shopping. They weren't driving some fancy imaginary car. Like my dolls were milking goats and doing chores and canning food. And they had this like very imaginary prairie lifestyle. And I had such a romantic idea about all of that. And what I didn't know, you know, growing up was just how incredibly difficult all of those things were, all these things that I was imagining as being so far away and, you know, really sort of perfect in their simplicity. I didn't realize how difficult all those things were. And so when I moved out here, the fact that all of these things that I'd been reading about and poring over and history books and photo books. And I had no idea how resilient and gritty people needed to be to get through life on the prairie. And at this like place, it's like at the very western edge of this really rugged mountainous terrain that like sprawls to the Pacific. And so I fell in love with it. I do still have a somewhat like romantic idea about the area, but now having lived and worked here for almost a decade, I hope that I have a much more realistic view about what it takes to live here, what people have gone through, the history of this place, and how difficult it is and how polarizing it is for so many of our communities. And I just hope that I'm able to bring a really clear, objective lens to the things that I get to cover.
She gets pretty deep there after the beginning of that clip, Hugh, where she talks about Barbie dolls milking cows. But wow, what a talent she must have to take that jump, you know, to work in the San Francisco Bay Area and to come here and have all of these wonderful clients.
Well, I think the most shocking moment of the conversation was when I realized that she only had made the transition to freelance in 2014. I mean, I think the portfolio she has reflects decades of work and success, and she's only been at it for a little over 2.5 years, which is pretty extraordinary. But I think it's that willingness to say, I have a romantic version of what this place is, even having been here for a long while. But I also have this willingness to be objective about the places and talk about some of the challenges, but also that resiliency that she put the spotlight on. You know, I'm always intrigued really by journalists of any kind, whether they're print or photo or radio folks that are able to kind of drop in and more or less immediately recognize the story that's there and capture it in kind of a new and unique and beautiful way. So I asked Christina how she does it. What is she looking for when she arrives on the scene of a project?
What you've just asked, I feel like that's like the secret sauce that all of us are always searching for. It's it's like if you could bottle up like a formula that could work every time and work perfectly to capture everything, that would be incredible. And I think the thing that makes photography and visual storytelling so challenging and so much fun to get to play with every day is that there's only so much you get to plan for. You'll walk into a story with ideas about the things that you have to have. Maybe there's a process that you're photographing. Maybe there's a very literal storyline to something. Maybe it's just being there during calving season. And so there's like some very specific things that happen during the day for calving season. And so you know that there's this list of things maybe you have to get. But then beyond that, it's having to just clear your head enough and open your eyes enough to just be willing to see the things that you're not looking for. And sometimes it's an actual moment of just one person pausing and reflecting, or it's between two people or a group of people, and you're just kind of waiting for that pinnacle moment of something that's going to help convey the story that you're trying to tell. But other times it might just be a cool detail. Like maybe there's just something really interesting on somebody's nightstand, like a book that means a lot to them, or a little trinket that's special to them. And just to be open, I think it's just so important to be open to the things that you're not looking for. It's just like, right, when you had asked me to do the interview, and all I wanted to do was be like, please send me all the questions you're going to ask me so I can be thinking about this. And I refrained from doing that, knowing that if someone asked me that, I'd be like, no, I can't give you the questions. Like, here's the general idea of what we'll be talking about, but I don't want you to be like having all this stuff rehearsed in your head to be able to answer it, because then you just don't feel like you're getting a genuine answer. Like, I don't want a soundbite. I just want to talk to you. I just want to hear what you have to say. And I feel like photos are the same kind of thing.
One of the interesting things she says, Hugh, is you need to be willing to see things you're not looking for. How easy is that for a person?
Yes, I think as she notes, that if she could figure it out and reproduce it and repeat it each time to perfection, that she would be the most successful journalist, period, on the planet. I think it is exceedingly hard to get past your own bias or even your own assumptions of what a story is. I think especially, I thought a lot about Christina's work. She spends a lot of time in Pine Ridge and Eagle Butte and Western North Dakota. And a lot of these stories have been told in a certain way for decades. So to show up without the assumption that you're going to shoot the same photos or tell the same version of the story requires a discipline that I think is pretty extraordinary, especially for a creative, where there's this tendency to see creatives as undisciplined. I think what Christina does is exceedingly disciplined.
Yeah, and so many journalists, whether they're photojournalists or print journalists, they'll tell you that many times the best story they have come across is the one they're not looking for. So Christina, like she said, if she could bottle that up, she'd really have something.
Yeah, you know, one of the things Christina said that I'll share in the potluck episode, in the podcast episode, is that one of the things she loves about this region is that people still say, how are you? And they actually intend to listen to what your response is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended the interview by asking how she is. And she said she's tired. She's road weary. She's had some back-to-back travels and projects that have taken her away from home for a long time. But she feels so incredibly fortunate to be able to make a living doing this and to be able to tell the stories of this specific place. And I think that it makes her worthy of celebration, both, you know, through a program like this and a segment like this and just conversation within the community. Rapid City has a real gem, I think, with Christina Barker. And I, for one, feel really fortunate to have had the chance to talk to her.
And to be able to be your own boss, I mean, that's where some creativity really flows, doesn't it?
It does, but it was funny. She and I talked about how so many of her friends perceive her to have this jet setters, you know, sexy creative lifestyle, and that she also has to spend a lot of time doing sales tax and making sure that, you know, the licenses are in place and that rent is paid and the lights are on. And so I think there is that tug, especially for a creative professional, that there is extraordinary freedom, but there's also some of the same practical kind of concerns that, you know, a retail business on Phillips Avenue or someone in, you know, small town Mobridge has to face as well. So it's good to see that give and take, even in a creative industry.
Hugh Weber is host of the Potluck Society podcast. You can sign up for updates by visiting thepotlucksociety.com and catch him weekly at this time on In the Moment. Hugh, thanks so much. We'll look forward to next week.
Sounds great. It was great being with you.